Join the Toronto Holocaust Museum and its partners for a community-wide Yom HaShoah commemoration on Sunday, May 5th. A moving evening of film, candlelighting, music, and a tribute to survivors we've recently lost. Keynote speaker Yoni Berus from Yad Vashem will reflect on Holocaust remembrance post-October 7th. The program is at Beth Emeth Synagogue at 7 p.m. Register at torontoholocaustmuseum.org.
Friends, we are just completing our mission, our delegation here in Israel. And here we are at almost 1 o'clock in the morning, sitting in the lobby of our hotel in Tel Aviv, because there are dozens of Iranian drones approaching Israel.
That's the voice of Ezra Shankin. He's CEO of the Jewish Federation of Greater Vancouver. He's recording a short reassuring message to his community a few hours ago from the lobby of a beachside Tel Aviv hotel where Shankin and a delegation of 17 Canadians from British Columbia spent an anxious night during the first ever direct military attack by Iran on the state of Israel. Shankin was accompanying a delegation that included some non-Jewish members too, MLAs from the BC government, municipal politicians, an indigenous leader, and also some rabbis, Sija's Pacific official, and Jewish community leaders. They'd come to Israel a few days earlier on a fact-finding mission to see the locations of the October 7th massacre. And they had one day left of their trip when Iran made good on its threats to retaliate against Israel for the airstrike on April 1st that destroyed the Iranian embassy in Syria and killed two high-ranking commanders from the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. Israeli army officials say in the initial wave, Iran sent over 200 drones, cruise missiles, and ballistic missiles towards Israeli airspace. And you could see and hear booms in many parts of the country as the incoming weapons streaked over the skyline, even over Jerusalem. And the IDF says it intercepted most of them with the help of the U.S. and other allied forces, including Jordan. And Shankin was able to wait it out in his hotel room, just one floor above the hotel's shelter.
This is what Israelis are going through. And for us to be able to bear witness to this and to be here with our friends in Israel, I have kids, they're at home, they're safe. I have a wife, she's at home, she's safe. But there are so many families here that are experiencing this together with us. It's a privilege to be able to bring that message to the world.
I'm Ellen Besner, and this is what Jewish Canada sounds like for Sunday, April the 14th, 2024. Welcome to the CJN Daily, a podcast of the Canadian Jewish News, sponsored by Metropia. It was literally the middle of the night in Israel for Ezra Shankin, the CEO of the Jewish Federation of Greater Vancouver, but he wasn't sleeping, far from it. From the window of his 15th floor beachfront hotel in Tel Aviv, Shankin had a clear view of the airspace as the entire nation was hunkering down, riding out the unprecedented missile attack from Iran, watching to see if the section of Tel Aviv where he is would be targeted by drones or missiles launched from over 1,000 miles away. It's 1,700 kilometers from Tehran to Tel Aviv. Ezra Shankin joins me to describe what he's doing in Israel and what it's been like to be there during this major escalation of tensions with Israel's deadly foe.
I'm here.
Okay. Oh, my God. Good morning. Are you in your pajamas? No.
No, I am not. I am not in my pajamas yet. I wish I was.
Ezra, where are we finding you?
I'm in Tel Aviv. I'm on the 15th floor of the Renaissance Hotel. You can see behind me, if you look, you can see the beach going down there. And thank God it is still quiet here. But we know that there's been booms over Jerusalem. We know there's been booms over the south. And we have been sitting here just waiting for our turn, so to speak.
What are you doing in Israel? Why were you there and who's with you, first of all?
Yeah, we were with a group of, and continue to be here with a group of Jewish and non-Jewish leaders from Vancouver and British Columbia, here bearing witness to what happened on October 7th, meeting with leaders, deeply important moment for us to be here together. You know, most of us are still here and sitting and trying to keep a sense of levity in this very difficult time.
You said non-Jewish leaders. Who else is with you?
We have members of the Legislative Assembly. We have members of municipal government. And we have political activists. We had First Nations, Indigenous people, but she went back today. Thank God she's not having to go through this. And we have donors and senior rabbis with us. It's really a wonderful group. So we still have one more day of activity tomorrow, but it looks like it may be a little bit longer because flights have already been canceled tomorrow, and we'll see what Monday holds.
Just walk us through what you've been doing for the last 10 hours or 5 hours. You're in a hotel. What's it like?
No, look, we were out. We went to the hostage rally, which had to dissipate early because of calls from the government authorities that people needed to distribute. We were able to be in Hostage Square and to bear witness to what's going on there. We went out for some drinks and hung around and tried to keep ourselves calm. And then we walked back to the hotel. We've been sitting here waiting and watching the news and the Twitter feeds and the, you know, the Instagrams and the everything, all the news on our phones, and just trying to keep everybody calm and happy and together. And it's just a really formative moment for all of us. And I recorded a message that talked about very much around this is what Israelis are going through. And for us to be able to bear witness to this and to be here with our friends in Israel, I have kids, they're at home, they're safe. I have a wife, she's at home, she's safe. But there are so many families here that are experiencing this together with us. And, you know, it's a privilege to be able to bring that message to the world.
Okay, so how scared are you to be there now? This is 100 drones and ballistic missiles, and we see some of them on, we're watching, I don't know what you're watching, we're watching CNN, so.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that I'm concerned. I think we all are, but at the same time, we are confident in what it is that Israel's doing and our allies are doing to protect us. You know, look, we are strong and we're here to be strong.
What was it like out in the streets? Because you said you were in bars, but I know that schools were being told not to have classes. What did you see or hear that's not normal?
You know, I think that a lot of people are walking. A lot of people are getting back to where they need to get back to. I think that, you know, the Israelis are a resilient bunch of folks. And I'm so inspired by them. You know, people are out and then they're coming back and doing what they need to do and trying to stay as normal as possible. But this is an incredibly challenging moment for the state of Israel.
Are they thinking that the Canadian government's policies, which were in the news since March 18th, are you hearing people say, oh, you're Canadian? Like, what feedback are you getting about Canada's decision not to sell weapons? And you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do get that you're Canadians. I do get that from time to time while we're here a little bit. I think they're very happy that we're here. They're happy that we're bearing witness. They feel a great sense of love from us, in the sense of, you know, having us around, especially because we're Canadian. And that's a really important thing, that we're here representing a country that they're following and they're seeing what's going on back in Canada. You know, this is right now, I am standing here as a Canadian citizen with a group of delegates and who represent elected officials in Canada. We are standing here under a drone strike from Iran. This is the same country that, with due respect, has still yet to brand the IRGC as a terrorist organization. Well, I will tell you, we're standing right here, and this is what we're going through. I'd love to see Canada come forward and be strong for us in this moment. And yeah, I think it's obviously a very tough time.
You're not in a shelter, in a mamad. What are the rules? What are they telling you have to do?
Well, we haven't had a red alert here in the middle of Tel Aviv yet, but others have. And if we do, we'll head to the shelter.
You know where it waiting. Is?
Yeah, I do. I did a little dry run to the shelter. It's one floor down from where I am is the nearest shelter. And I'm close to that door where the steps are. But if I get to the steps, I'm pretty confident in where I am.
Since October 7th, you've been in Israel before, right?
I've been here three times since October 7th, my third time.
What's behind you? Turn around.
Yeah, that's just an airplane landing at Ben-Gurion.
I thought they closed the airspace.
Well, I don't know. That one seems to be landing.
Okay. I got scared.
I think they're taking flights in. Maybe they're not putting flights out.
Okay. And how are you guys supposed to get back to Canada?
We will see.
How were you supposed to get back to Canada?
Oh, how were we? Some of us were going on the new Air Canada flight recently restarted. And so we'd be going back on that. Some of them have been rebooked for Monday on the Air Canada flight. So we'll kind of see what ends up happening. Some of us are going United through Newark and then Air Canada to home. You know, this is different people, different ways. I'm supposed to leave Monday, but we had a whole group that was supposed to leave Sunday and now are leaving Monday at least.
And you guys were going to go to Israel despite this saber rattling. How did that impact who actually came? Did some people cancel?
Nope. We all came. We all wanted to be here. We all wanted to experience this. We all wanted to be down in the South. We all wanted to be bearing witness to the experience of those who went through October 7th. We wanted to be here talking about gender-based violence. We wanted to be here talking about the Arab-Israeli experience, about the Catholic experience and Christian-Arab experience. You know, we wanted to be here, and this is really important to us to be on the ground. So nobody hesitated to come and be with us.
Is there anything about your personal trip that is different this time? I mean, yeah, of course you're under an attack, but I mean, you've been to these like Kibbutz Be'eri, Kibbutz Aza, Kfar Aza. You did all that already with yourselves and Jewish.
That's right.
So now you're leading political and donors down to do the same. Was it the same itinerary or no? Because it was closed off.
No, I think every time that we go, it's a little bit different. I've been there three times. I've seen many different sites down south. Today we were this trip we were back at Kfar Aza, where I was at the beginning in December when I was here with members of parliament. And I tell you, each person that you hear the story from changes the entire experience of being there on the kibbutz. So it's a whole new experience through the eyes of the people that you talk to. And so we're there, we were at Nova, where we lost Ben Mizrahi. To be there with BC politicians was powerful. And, you know, to be able to pay our respects to Ben for the sacrifice that he made and the bravery that he showed on October 7th at the Nova Music Festival was a deeply, deeply meaningful moment for me.
You don't have flak jackets. You don't have like go bag. Like you're just in a hotel room.
No, we're just normal people in a hotel room, just doing the best that we can. And, you know, we know where the safe room is. We know what to do if a red alert does activate. And, you know, we're just doing what we can and trying to keep our spirits up and trying to be here and be supportive of the state of Israel during this challenging time. That's all.
What did you tell your kids and your wife?
You know, I've spoken to my wife. I don't think my kids know what I'm going through. I have young kids, and I wouldn't want them to know what I'm going through. You know, these are not easy things to explain. I think they understand that their father is doing important things and that he's supporting Israel and doing these, you know, being here for the right reasons. And, you know, I hope they understand that. You know, families are scared, and rightfully so. But we're here and we're resolute and we continue to move forward.
Okay. While we're there, is there any alerts going on? I don't know if you've talked to the police in Vancouver to step up patrols, et cetera. there's always that terror threat.
Our crisis team is working right now in Vancouver. They're in touch with local law enforcement. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. I'm very, very proud of our team back in Vancouver. They do not need me. They know exactly what they're supposed to do in this moment. And I can see through our WhatsApp group that progress is being made. We have steps that we take in moments like this. And I know that we're taking the steps that are necessary to keep our people safe. Like I said in the video that I recorded that we put out on social media from our Federation page, look, this helps me understand, it helps us all understand what Israelis are going through. And I think it's really important to understand the gravity and why Israelis make the decisions that they make and what's going on here. I wouldn't wish this on anybody. I wouldn't wish this on any family or any elderly person or whoever's sitting in a shelter tonight across Israel. I wouldn't wish this on anybody. And I really have great rahmanas and empathy for all here who are dealing with this difficult situation.
You keep saying challenging about right now. I mean, Israel's getting attacked by Iran, and it's a big step up by geopolitical. I'm not a geopolitical expert, but it's a lot different than what Hezbollah night to night. So were you briefed at all on what Israel's thinking?
No, we were with Ronan Hoffman, the former ambassador to Canada, tonight at dinner. And, we talked briefly about it. It's, it's obviously a very tough situation. And, Israel has struck at Iranian agents, and Iran is doing what Iran does. And, I wish this wasn't happening, but, this is what it is. And what I felt from the conversations I had is that everybody was waiting and watching to see exactly what Iran decided to do in this moment. I think we're obviously getting a clear picture now of what they decided to do. And we'll see how long they want to go with this and what the response needs to be.
Okay. I'm going to say goodnight. Thank you for being on the CJN Daily.
Sure, sure.
And that's what Jewish Canada sounds like for this episode of the CJN Daily, sponsored by Metropia. Integrity, community, quality, and customer care. Now, before we end, I want to give you some quick updates. Air Canada canceled its Saturday evening flight from Toronto to Tel Aviv due to the Iran attack. The airlines just started service to Israel up again this past week, after 6 months since October 7th. The Canadian government has warned people not to travel to Israel or the West Bank right now. The UN has called for an emergency meeting of the Security Council to discuss the Iran attack on Israel. Iran is the chair of the UN Conference on Disarmament. And some political updates from our country's leaders. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau condemned Iran's airborne attack on Israel, saying Canada stands with Israel and supports Israel's right to defend itself. Opposition leader Pierre Poilievre also condemned the Iranian action and called for Canada to declare the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps as a terrorist organization, which he blames for coordinating and funding terror throughout the region and even here on Canadian soil. NDP leader Jagmeet Singh said he condemned the serious escalation represented by Iran's attack on Israel, and he's called for an immediate cessation of hostilities. He said, quote, "So many innocent people have been killed in the region. This is unacceptable, and Canada must do everything in its power to de-escalate the situation." Anthony Housefather, the Liberal MP from Mount Royal, who will be working as the government's point person on combating anti-Semitism, pointedly reminded his colleagues and other lawmakers that they voted on March 18th for the NDP motion that saw Canada ban further arms sales to Israel, even defensive weapons, and Housefather urged what he called this misguided policy to be reversed, unquote. For more Canadian news on this developing story, follow our coverage on the CJN's website at thecjn.ca. And thanks for listening to the CJN Daily.